Call for a free, no obligation, half-hour consultation. 713-461-9440. 713-461-9440.
CNM Marketing at www.c-mmarketing.com or
713-461-9440.
Welcome to the Things That Matter Most, where we talk about things everyone is passionate about, but that matter much more than sports or politics. Your hosts are Rick Davis and Lael Arrington, author and national speaker on spiritual and cultural issues. Whether the guest is a humanist or a Hindu, whether our topic is a new movie or an age-old dilemma, the purpose is the same: to ask questions about our basic beliefs and consider how they line up with the reality we all experience. And now, here are your hosts, Rick Davis and Lael Arrington.
Good morning, Houston. This is Rick Davis.
And Lael Arrington.
And you're listening to The Things That Matter Most, the show where we talk about things that everyone's passionate about, but that matters more. Lael, I'm out of practice. It's been so long since we've been on together.
I
don't know how to do this anymore.
We had a tape show last week. You've lost your touch.
I have lost my touch. I'm a has-been. Okay. Well, anyway, each week we bring you a different spiritual perspective.
And we do this because, gosh, life is so busy, and especially during the Christmas season. And yet, during the Christmas season especially, it is so important to think about the reason for the season, the reason for our lives, our meaning, our purpose, why it is that we do what we do during another year that's coming to a close.
That's right.
And so that's what our show is about. It's about our most cherished values and basic beliefs, the things kind of behind the news, the things that drive the news even.
Exactly.
And so we have a very, very different show than most of what's on talk radio.
Now, Lael, before the show began today, you mentioned to me that you had wanted to tell our listeners a little bit about our theme for December.
Yeah, well, we want to be a servant to our audience. We want to help our listeners. And so one of the things we think about is, hey, we deal a lot with ideas and evidence, and maybe there are people on your Christmas shopping list that would really enjoy gifts that offer a great resource, that offer a compelling evidence for the reality of faith in God. So we're going to be highlighting several really excellent books and during the month of December, and some websites. And so we'll have the authors on. We have, this week we have Don Piper, who's the author of 90 Minutes in Heaven, an eyewitness account of what happened when he was driving down the road and run over by an 18-wheeler.
Right.
And then we have The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe next week, because
right.
The movie comes out. Unfortunately, C.S. Lewis is not available.
Yes.
But we do have Frederica Matthews Green, who is a movie critic and who has spoken at the Oxford Seminar on Lewis. And then the following week, we'll have Lee Strobel talking about one of his books, The Case for Christmas. So we've got an excellent lineup here in December, and we have a lot of resources that I think you will want to learn about. And there may be somebody on your list that they're really asking questions about their faith. They're really wondering, you know, how do I have confidence that my faith is true? These would be excellent books and resources to give to them, and you'll hear straight from the authors or informed people about these resources.
Exactly. And back on that matter of our guests, I understand that we've actually been corresponding with Roger Ebert.
Well, yeah, but
yeah,
I don't think he's coming on.
Well, I think it's impressive that we're corresponding with him. Exactly. Okay. Well, yes, yeah, so in December, we're going to be mentioning some books and resources that you might want to buy for yourself or for other folks who are looking for some evidence about what's true.
Yeah, I'm really excited about today's show. You know, Don Piper's book is a huge inspirational bestseller. It has almost sold 500,000 copies now, and it's a big one at Walmart, you know. So if Walmart's selling, you know everybody's buying.
Exactly. Well, I think when we begin the interview, we'll do a little bit more lengthy introduction, but basically,
yeah,
just to give a little teaser, this is a man who has died Was dead for 90 minutes. I think they had the sheet over him. On
No, he was just, I mean, they couldn't even get a sheet over him because...
Oh, that's right. He was crushed in the car.
Right. They were trying to wait for the jaws of life to come.
And he went to heaven and was there for what on earth was 90 minutes, right? But, of course, in heaven there's not time, so you know, we don't know really how that computes. But went to heaven and he's back and he's written a book, and today in the interview he's going to tell us what that was about.
Yeah, you know, eyewitness accounts are very compelling. People are convicted to death. People are convicted to years in prison on the basis of eyewitness accounts. And so it's going to be interesting to talk about this, kind of talk about that whole area of near-death experiences and what's the reality there, sifting out fact from fiction, and how do we value any of that? I tend to be kind of skeptical about that sort of thing, actually.
Well, we got to be careful. Well, we're about 20 minutes away from a break, so before we break, I want to mention our website, www, of course, thethingsthatmattermost.org. And if you are listeners, go to our website. You'll find all kinds of resources to help you sort out what is true and what's not, including an archive of all our past shows. Well, we're moving toward a break. This is AM 700 KCB The Voice, Rick Davis and Leah Larrington, and we will be back with The Man Who Went to Heaven in about 2 minutes.
Right.
So distracted from the things that matter most. C.S. Lewis said we're like children content with playing mud pies in the slum because we cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. That is why Leo Arrington wrote her new book, God's Sight, Renewing the Eyes of Our Hearts, to turn our imaginations toward enjoying God and His kingdom, the real holiday at the sea. Because we live our lives not just from our beliefs of what is true, but also from our desires for what ignites our passion. God's Sight is Lael's personal story and a biblical study of how God grows our vision for Him. Whether you face a chronic illness as she has or find yourself wanting more than everyday life affords, join a fellow traveler and discover the beauty and passion of our Technicolor God. God's Sight is available now at local Christian bookstores, Amazon.com, and Lael's website, LaelArrington.com.
Tom Ball isn't exactly known for its nightlife, but right on Main Street near the railroad tracks in downtown Tomball is a new hotspot for music and fun called Main Street Crossing. On Friday nights at 7 o'clock, people from all over the Houston area drive out to Tomball to enjoy live music. Main Street Crossing serves your favorite beers and wines and also offers a Starbucks-style coffee bar. On cold evenings, the garage doors go up and you can enjoy live music in the open air. Wednesday nights are exclusively for high school students. Doors open at 7 for music, fun, and plenty of under 18 refreshments. Thursday nights are reserved for young adults at Main Street Crossing. Starting at 7 p.m., Main Street Crossing is the place to hang out if you're between the ages of 18 and 25. On Sunday afternoons at 4, and then again in the evenings at 7, if you're on a spiritual journey, come over to Main Street Crossing. It's kind of like church, but it's not. There may be some answers waiting for you here. There's always something going on at Main Street Crossing. By the way, remember Main Street Crossing for your next wedding, private party, or business meeting. Go to www.mainstreetcrossing.com. Okay, well, we're back. This is Rick Davis.
And Leah Larrington.
And the show is The Things That Matter Most, the show where we talk about things that people are passionate about, but that matter a whole lot more than sports or politics. Our guest today is Don Piper. Don graduated from Louisiana State University in radio and TV broadcasting.
So you're home, Don.
That's right. Welcome home. Welcome to the microphone.
I love it. Yes.
There we go.
Glad to be here.
Well, Don has actually worked in numerous radio and TV stations on the air and also in management. Today he is a minister of education and single adults in the First Baptist Church of Pasadena. And Don is here today to tell us the true story of his encounter with death and heaven. And that story is detailed in his book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. Don, welcome to our show.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
Okay, you bet. Well, let's see, Lael, you actually met Don before I did, didn't you?
I did. We met out at a writer's conference out at Mount Hermon in California.
In California, we certainly did.
Yes.
It was a wonderful event. In fact, that's really actually where this book was launched.
Yes, I remember you were looking for someone to help you put the story down.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's been a huge success since then, hasn't it, Don?
It's actually been amazing, really. I never dreamed that it would have this kind of impact. Worldwide, it's in about 10 different languages now. They will ship the 400,000th copy of it this week. It's in its 15th printing.
It's been a good seller in places you would never expect, like Sweden and
Scandinavia.
It's
the number one book in Sweden, and it's a top 10 book in Norway, and just signed the contract to print it in Finland.
And I remember at Mount Hermon, mm-hmm. Don, you were a little ambivalent, it seemed like, about the whole process. I mean, you were there to really find a writer,
right.
But it's not like you were really putting this story forward. And I think that's part of the reason why, when we sat down to talk about it, even though it was this out there story that I'd never heard before,
right.
And you didn't have millions of published books behind
right.
it, there was something about it that really gripped me. So why not? I remember we were in this little place, and it was the launching of the Iraqi invasion.
So
we were both kind of news junkies at
right.
the writers' conference, so we were watching it.
A little
watching the tanks
in
roll.
Area there off,
yeah.
off the main building, and that was on TV at that moment.
Right, and so we kind of got into our stories. We both have a little bit of physical limitation.
Indeed.
I have rheumatoid arthritis, and you have been through your story.
Broken just about everything you can break.
So you told me your story. So why don't you share that same story with our listeners today?
Well, I've been a pastor for quite a long time. I had the second life after broadcasting, and...
Mm-hmm. Now, is this a reference to your time in heaven, or a second
occupational
life?
Well, there were moments. There
okay.
were moments of my first career that were heavenly, but not many.
Right, right.
I was going home from a church conference as a pastor in Alvin, Texas, just south of Houston, obviously. And this conference was up on Lake Livingston. And I chose that day to do something I frequently do, which is take a different route. I'm one of those people that if I've not been down a highway, I'll say, well, let's go down this way. It's about equidistant from Lake Livingston, Trinity Pines Encampment back to Alvin if you go down Highway 59 or down the Gulf Freeway.
And of course, all these people in the Houston area are picturing this exactly.
Sure.
And saying, yeah,
so
yeah.
I paused at the front gate and I said, I'm going to go right today. It's the first time I've ever tried this. I'm going to go over to Huntsville and catch 45 and go back down to Alvin because it was a Wednesday and I was supposed to speak in my church that night. And that didn't seem like a very important decision at the time. It turned out to be very, very important. But
well, and they say sometimes there are no small decisions.
That's right. That's
the
right.
tie that you wear may attract the eyes of
exactly.
a young lady who becomes your wife.
Exactly. I'm not wearing a tie today, so I'm glad about that.
You're already married.
And you're already married, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
31 years.
Yeah.
I'm driving across the lake, Lake Livingston, and there's a large bridge at the end of that lake.
Mm-hmm.
Things are kind of changed now. 16 years have passed. This is 1989 when this occurred. So there's an old bridge there built in the 30s and very narrow, has a large metal superstructure over the top of it. Before I clear the end of that bridge after crossing the lake, an 18-wheeler driven by an inmate from the Texas Department of Corrections lost control of his 18-wheeler, came down the embankment onto the bridge and struck my small Ford Escort head-on. And the nine wheels on his driver's side of the truck just flattened the car and then smashed it up against the railing of the bridge.
Wow.
And I was killed instantly.
Wow.
I'm
okay,
looking...
Okay, let's pause. Here's our guest saying he was killed instantly.
Yes.
So the story's on.
Well, I'm looking at the car here in his book, and I'm saying, I believe it.
Yeah, it was quite a collision. And since it was a bridge with a superstructure, I couldn't go over the railing. I mean, I was just trapped. I never saw the car.
I have a question I have to ask.
Sure.
Since I haven't gotten to die yet. Does it hurt?
No, it didn't hurt for me, although I've been with folks that who are passing away, and it does hurt for some. When we have a 110-mile-an-hour impact, I'm driving 50, he's driving 60, there's not much time for hurt.
Okay.
Yeah, I was immediately dead on the scene, and I immediately was at the gates of heaven.
Wow.
And so
and
the body
so,
was covered
and so
up with a tarp.
As you think about it, you're what you're seeing is the road, and then the next thing you're seeing is...
I'm at the gates of heaven.
What does that look like?
Breathtaking, surrounded by people who have preceded me in life.
People you knew?
Only people I knew.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So no strangers?
No strangers, which I found very
and
curious.
And no long, dark tunnel?
No tunnel.
No.
Once again, I was just killed instantly.
Being of light?
Yeah, I've been with people who literally were passing away. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, we sometimes think that's a euphemism for dying, but people do pass away. They are leaving this earth, and they're going to that place.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll sit up in bed, maybe, and talk about a person they see or a light in the distance. That's not out of the ordinary. In my case, it was such an instantaneous thing that didn't happen. I was just in the car driving one split second, and the next moment I'm surrounded by these loved ones who preceded me in death. And the first person I saw was my grandfather, and I had been with him when he died. I rode with him in the ambulance to the hospital. It was a heartbreaking experience.
Did these people speak to you?
Yes, we spoke, but there was much more communication than just verbal.
Really?
Yes. Here we're having an interview today, and we're asking questions, exchanging information, and trying to interpret. Your listeners are trying to interpret what I'm saying.
Right.
But in heaven, there's no interpretation. There is no need for questions, because you fully understand the full impact of what someone is communicating to you. So when I say there is communication, but it's much more than verbal. When my grandfather said something to me, I knew the full impact of his emotion, his feeling, the depth of what he was saying, and there was no need for interpretation.
It reminds me of that verse where it says, now we see through a glass darkly,
yeah.
And then...
It's a perfect description of what heaven is like.
Do you recall any of the content of that communication?
Most of it revolved around how happy they were that I had joined them.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, there was a sense of expectation on their part.
Right.
Like they knew you were...
Yeah, they were waiting for me at the gate.
Now, were all of these people Christians in real life?
Yes. Yes. In fact... The thing, the silver thread that wove them all together was each one of them in their own way, and there were some people who had been younger when they passed away, some people who had been quite old. They all influenced me to become a Christian. They all invited me to church. They had all witnessed to me by telling me about Christ.
Mm.
They all had that kind of spiritual impact on me. So the people who helped me get there were the ones who were helping me arrive there. And it made me feel right at home. And, of course, that's exactly what heaven is. It's home. And I couldn't have been more warmly received, and I couldn't have felt more... There was no sense on my part of being reluctant or afraid or anything else. I immediately felt at home.
How about remorse as far as the people you left behind?
No, in fact, I kind of got in trouble with my father-in-law.
I remember
once.
Reading
yeah.
that in your book.
Yeah, I had spoken about this, and I speak frequently on this subject, as you might imagine, and he was in the audience that day, and for some reason, the two of us were alone right after that happened, and he leans over to me and he says, you know something, I've been kind of angry with you for a while. I said, when your father-in-law said, I said, sir, he said, I've heard you say in front of large audiences that you were glad to be in heaven, and you didn't miss anyone here. I said, yes, that's right. He said, but you're the father of my grandchildren, and you're the husband of my daughter, and it kind of made me feel like you didn't care. He said, today I leaned into your discussion of heaven and your description, and I finally get it, and I owe you an apology. I said, no, you certainly don't owe me an apology. He said, I just didn't understand.
Hey, Don, tell our listeners what you saw. You saw people, but what, and gates, and can you give them some more detail?
Yeah, the gates were right above the people. First of all, the little more description of the people. They were perfect. You know, here on Earth, we're kind of beaten down by the slings and arrows of life, the scars that we have, the age. I was speaking at a church at Baton Rouge about 4 weeks ago before the hurricane came through, and I was talking about heaven, how beautiful everybody was, and this guy stands up in the worship service, and he says, what about hair? I want to know about hair. And, of course, he was follically deprived. He didn't have any hair.
Okay. Well, that sounds like the root of our conversation. So on that note, we need to take a break. And so let's do that. And we'll be back in just a second with Don Piper, the man who spent 90 minutes in heaven.
This is AM 700 KSEV.
tournament poker games are popping up at bars all over Houston. But now, there's a Texas Hold'em venue that's much more pleasant and upscale. It's Main Street Crossing on Main Street in old downtown Tomball near the railroad tracks. Every Monday night, starting at 6:30 and again at 9:30, you can test your skill against other players. Experienced players are welcome, but we also specialize in teaching rookies how to play. Enjoy beer, wine, and coffee drinks as you enjoy the excitement of this gambler's game of skill. Remember, Monday evenings at 6:30 and then again at 9:30, poker at Main Street Crossing.
Every Wednesday evening at Main Street Crossing, high school students take over. It's called Prime Time, and every high schooler is welcome to come and enjoy the best evening of their week. That's right, an hour and a half, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Main Street Crossing is located right on Main Street in Old Downtown Tomball. If you have a high schooler in your home, by all means, send them down to Main Street Crossing, because you never know what kind of crazy things will go on. High school kids love to hang out, and that's what Main Street Crossing is all about. See you Wednesday, and bring a friend. So, you're 18 to 25 years old, and you're sitting at home on a Thursday night. Why? Come over to Main Street Crossing for a night of fun with a crowd of other young adults. We're located right on Main Street in Old Downtown Tomball, and our doors open at 8 p.m. Sometimes we just hang out. Sometimes we have an open mic. Sometimes we have a live band, but it's always a good time. If you're not in the 18 to 25 age range, then sorry, but you'll have to come back another time. But if you are, then stop sitting at home and come hang out Thursday night. Do you feel like you have lots of questions and very few answers when it comes to God and spiritual things? Do you long for a place where you could talk things through where someone would actually listen? Main Street Crossing is a space for the community. Wellspring is a community that offers space. Space to be, space to ask questions, space to speak at your pace. We invite you to join us at 4 p.m. each Sunday. We're a group of people, a community, if you will, who wants to experience and explore life's mystery and meaning. Main Street Crossing is located right on Main Street in Old Downtown Tomball.
Okay, we're back. This is Rick Davis.
And Leah Larrington.
And the show is The Things That Matter Most. And today we are interviewing Don Piper, who is a gentleman with a background, fortunately, in radio and TV. And today he's in the ministry, and he has written a book called 90 Minutes in Heaven that details his encounter with death and heaven in a horrible automobile accident that he had. So we're right in the middle of our interview here, and Lael, I think you had a question.
Yeah, Don, before the break, I was asking you, you know, give us the details of that experience, you know, the things you saw, heard, that kind of thing.
Well, my great-grandmother had been, she was 80 years old when she passed away, and in life she was a victim of osteoporosis. She slumped over, she had a kind of a hump on her back.
Mm-hmm.
She had lost her teeth at a very early age, and she wore dentures, which she hated. She kept them in a glass by the sink of the kitchen. When we're children, we'd go in and look at them, you know, because they were always smiling back at us. And she smiled at me in heaven, and it was the most breathtakingly beautiful smile I had ever seen. It was the first time I'd ever really seen her real smile. And so people in heaven are perfect. The only person in heaven with scars is Jesus, because he's reminding us of how we got there.
Now, did you see Jesus?
No, I didn't. I get asked that question often, as you might imagine. I was going through the gates, and incidentally, the gates are also breathtaking. They really are pearly.
And they are really gates.
Yeah, they really are. It's
sort
a magnificent.
Pearlescent.
Yeah, pearlescent. It's a magnificent edifice, and yet the gate, or the entrance itself, is quite small, which to me indicates you go into heaven one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a group effort. It's just, it's a decision you have to make, and you go in one at a time. So I was going through the gates, and there really are golden streets, and there really are dwellings up there, structures. Jesus did say, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Dwelling places.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at this brightness and this brilliance, and at the crest of this, and it's a slow rise, there really are, is the ultimate brightness. And I know that's where Christ is, but I didn't go that far, and I'm kind of glad I didn't, because when I came back, I was in such awful shape for such a terribly long time. I was depressed. I not only wasn't given much hope for having any kind of meaningful life, but I'd seen heaven and lost it.
Yeah.
So if I'd have seen Jesus and lost him, I just don't know how I would process. It gives me something to look forward to.
Of
yes.
course.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I when I go back, that's the one thing that I want to see. But
yeah. And you talk in your book about the sound.
Yeah, and I'm kind of an old radio guy. I like sounds. I think you could do some things with the imagination in radio that you could never do with television, and I've been in both businesses. But the sounds I heard were the sounds of wings. You go into the woods and you flush out a covey of birds and you hear that sound, the unique sound that's under their wings. It's like no other sound. It can't be duplicated. That sound is just pervasive. It's just all over the place.
Wow.
The other one is music. If you like music, you'll love heaven. The music in heaven are praise songs, they're glory to God songs, they're hallelujah songs. They're all telling God how wonderful he is.
So, like hymn book number 60?
No, you won't hear that. In fact, there'll be no songs in heaven about the old rugged cross. That is a completed task.
Hmm.
All the songs in heaven are glorifying God. And the beauty is, we are the audience. We get to hear those songs, though they're directed at him, and they are breathtaking. We can hear thousands of them with our heavenly ears, and there is no chaos.
See, that's what you shared with me
mm-hmm.
at that little den out in at the conference center, and that was just one of those things that you'd almost, like, you would not imagine, but as soon as I heard it, I thought, that has a ring of truth
yeah.
to me.
Well, it really happened. It's the most real experience of my existence. Now, it's the standard by which I judge everything here, and everything here is fairly pale in comparison. I can't wait to get back there. I earnestly long to be there. Sometimes I can close my eyes and still hear the music. Sometimes I can still see those faces, and I can't wait to go back. I realize now, and it took me a while to realize it, that I'm here for a reason, and that is to try to get as many people to go as I can.
Well, you've heard, this is not scriptural, but you do hear people say that one day we will be surprised who we see in heaven. Were there any surprises, or were these all people that you would expect to be there?
They were all, let me answer it this way, they were all people I expected to be there, but I didn't expect to see them at the gate, and I didn't mm-hmm. expect that they would be maybe waiting for me.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the content of your communication with them?
It just really revolved around glorifying God and glad that he brought us all together.
Was there any sense or dialogue about, were you saying anything?
Just only responding. I was really so overwhelmed that I didn't have a whole lot to say. I just thanked them for coming, which seemed like a ridiculous thing to do now in retrospect. But
right.
I was so happy to be there and in their presence. Remember now, this is a reunion, and if heaven is anything, it's a grand reunion.
Mm.
It is a splendid opportunity to see those who we have loved and lost for a little while. And those people are waiting for us at the gate. And so one of the most blessed things about heaven, and there are so many, that would be impossible to describe them all, is this sense of reunion. And in life, we're only loaned to each other for a little while. Even our children, mm-hmm. our parents, we're passing through each other's lives. In heaven, you are with them perpetually. I have no doubt that those people who are waiting for me at the gate remain at the gate, because no time has passed.
That's
for them.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
There's no sense of the passage of time whatsoever in heaven.
Right.
It's eternal.
Don, as you think about your experience now, mm-hmm. in hindsight,
mm-hmm.
One of the things we like to do on our show is discuss what is true,
mm-hmm.
and how do people have confidence that what they believe is true.
Right.
How has this affected your confidence in what you believe is true?
Well, it's interesting. That's a good question. On the night before Christ was crucified, I mean, he's about to die, and he knows he is. People were asking him, where are you going, and how are we going to get there? And his answer was, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so I believe that. I believe that the reason I went to heaven when that big truck hit me mm-hmm. is because, not because at the age of 38, which is how old I was when the accident happened, I took a different route that day that seemed like a trivial decision turned out to be important. The big decision in my life was accepting Christ as Savior at 16, because when that truck hit me, I was ready to go to heaven because I knew the way and I knew the truth. And I had eternal life.
Okay.
And you know, we're on a secular station.
Yes, we are.
And maybe there are some people that we might have the immediate follow-up to say, well, how did you know?
Well, and to our listening audience, this is a man who has been to heaven. And if you hear him relate his story, it's very credible. So, Don, that being the case, how does someone get to heaven?
Well, that's it. One of Jesus' own followers had been with him 3.5 years, named Thomas. He asked that question. We don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. His answer, direct answer from Christ, was, I am the way.
And what do you think he meant by that?
Well, if you want to go to heaven, it's through him.
And how does one make that decision?
It's accepting what Christ did on the cross that following day. He died on the cross. He was crucified. With him was the death of sin. And listen to this. With him was the death of death.
Right.
He died, was resurrected on the third day, indicating that he had conquered death. And because he was resurrected, one day we shall be too. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, for those who know him. And so the solid evidence, and I actually got to prove it myself, not by design, or my own design, but his, I suppose, is that heaven is real. It's the most real place I know, and that you can go there, and the way you go there is through Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father except through me.
Okay, well then, let's take that one step further. If there's someone listening today mm-hmm. who wants to go to heaven,
right,
and they are ready to, you've used the words, accept what Christ did.
Right.
So what do they do?
They need to ask, they need to tell Jesus they believe in him mm-hmm. and what he did for them on the cross.
Right.
And accept that. I know, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me and that you died for my sins. And I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. I want to repent. Repent means to turn from them. Not just say, I'm sorry, to turn from them. And to make Christ your Lord. And what that means is, let him be your guide. Read his words. Follow his words. Talk with him. Pray and ask God what he would have for you to do. That's to make him Lord. And the other one is to make him Savior. And that means he saved you from death. He saved you from sin and the consequences of sin. And you get to go be with him forever and ever and ever. That's what they need to do. They need to accept what has already taken place. I did, and so I went to heaven right away.
Okay, so go ahead. We're down to 1 minute, Lael.
Okay, Don, quickly, can you tell your listeners, what one thing did you learn from your experience?
Well, the heaven is completely real. I mean, I believed it before, but I'm skeptical about people going there and coming back and talking about it. But I've seen it for my own self. I believe that heaven is real. I believe that God answers prayer, because that's the only reason I lived. I believe that God's still in the miracle business. It's a miracle I survived this accident.
You've had how many operations?
34 operations.
And as I recall reading in your book, the doctor said, I've seen people that looked worse than you coming in, but
none of them lived.
That's right.
Yeah. So God's still in the miracle business. And I believe sometimes things happen to us and we have to decide what to do with them.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time. This has been just maybe our most interesting interview, but certainly one of them. And Don, we want to thank you very much for coming and spending some time with us. And Lael, you and I will take a break and we'll come back and we'll have a little discussion about what we heard Don say.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
At 7 p.m. on Sunday evenings at Main Street Crossing in downtown Tomball, a group gathers to grill hot dogs, listen to live music and a spoken message from Aaron Edwards, and even drink a little beer from time to time. Is it church? Well, it's a little like church in that we meet on Sundays and we do have a spiritual focus. But church with beer? You gotta be kidding. But whatever you want to call it, it's worth checking out. 7 p.m. on Sundays at Main Street Crossing in old downtown Tomball. Go to www.mainstreetcrossing.com.
Home Homemade Houston, a Greater Houston Builders Association nonprofit organization, partners with local housing industry leaders who donate time and money to construct dignified housing for homeless families and individuals. Homemade Houston is a chapter of Homemade America, the nation's largest provider of transitional housing for the temporarily homeless. Please join us as we take this step toward rebuilding lives and eliminating homelessness in Houston. Visit us online at homeaidhouston.org.
You live within 10 miles of Tomball. You've got a new activity for Friday nights. It's live music at Main Street Crossing, located at 111 Main Street in old downtown Tomball. Although you can get a beer or wine, it's also a family-friendly place where kids are very welcome. We make you this guarantee. The music is always excellent and it's never too loud. The building is the finest and most striking piece of real estate in the Tomball area. And the food, drink, and Starbucks-style coffee service are the best you'll find anywhere. It's not expensive, but it sure is fun. Go to www.mainstreetcrossing.com, then come visit on Friday night. I guess Tomball has finally arrived.
We're back. This is Rick Davis.
And Leah Larrington.
And you're listening to The Things That Matter Most, the newest and, frankly, the best idea in talk radio, where each week we talk about things that everyone's passionate about but that matter a whole lot more than sports or politics. On Sunday morning at 9, normally we broadcast this show live from Main Street Crossing on Main Street in old downtown Tomball, but today we had a little technical difficulty, so we had to go off-site. But regardless of where we hold the show, it is a show where each week we bring you a different spiritual perspective. Sometimes we may interview a Muslim, perhaps an atheist or a Hindu or a Scientologist, but the purpose is always the same: to bring you, our listeners, evidence to help you figure out for yourself what you think is true and what is not about the most important questions of life.
And for those that are just tuning in, we just had an interview with Don Piper, whose book 90 Minutes in Heaven has sold almost 500,000 copies. And our theme for December is to serve you, our audience, by introducing you to various resources that present a lot of evidence for God and faith. And they might be the kind of things that someone on your Christmas shopping list would find very compelling, very interesting.
Well, Don said that he knows for sure that he went to heaven. He knows his experience was real. How do you respond to this claim?
Well, of course, as we said in the first part of the interview, I met Don in person, although we're both here from Houston. We met out in California at a writers' conference, and we were just sitting around this little cafe kind of place, watching the troops roll into Baghdad, actually, and he tells me this incredible story. And as I mentioned the first hour, I think the thing that was most compelling to me was he really did seem like a reluctant witness. You know, sometimes in a courtroom, if an eyewitness is giving their account, they are a reluctant witness, it almost is more compelling,
more
believable,
right,
more credible. This had happened years ago, and as he tells in his book, he didn't tell anybody for a couple of years. And then finally he told his best friend. His best friend was like, "You need to tell this." And he said, "Oh, I don't think so." He said, "Well, you need to tell a couple people this next week, and if they say you need to tell this, then that'll be like a test. And if
sure.
they say yes, then you need to tell this story." And so he did, and people said, "You need to tell this story." And so that's why he began eventually to talk about it, share about it. And I find that so different from so many other people with near-death experiences that write about it, talk about it, go on Oprah about it, is because quite often when they come back or they have this thing, they're jumping on the flat platform, they're grabbing the mic, they're telling everyone all about it. Quite often, they just seem sort of anxious to, let this be their 5 minutes of fame or whatever.
Sure.
And I found Don's actual reluctance to be all the more compelling. And he's just, here's just a neat guy, but just your average everyday guy. And that was almost very compelling, too, because it wasn't like this super charismatic, superstar kind of person that had done it.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like, for some reason, this average, everyday person had been given
something very extraordinary by way of a glimpse.
So a lot of what you're saying is that as far as your belief that this is true, a certain part of that comes from having interacted with him.
Right.
And sensing that this is a very meticulously honest, trustworthy guy.
Yeah, and a guy with, like, nothing to put over on you or no, you know, no big, I have a story to tell, wait till you hear this
right.
kind of attitude.
Right, right.
What did you make of it, Rick?
Well, you know, in preparing for the show, this kind of launched me into this whole area of near-death experiences, which I am well aware of,
right.
but had never really gotten in and studied in much depth, and I had a chance to do it this week. And first of all, I'll say, you know, now again, this is on the broader topic of near-death,
right.
not necessarily just on. There is so much variation in these accounts of near-death experiences, and much of it is in conflict with biblical Christianity.
Right.
Well, I have to kind of take those elements that are in conflict with biblical Christianity as wrong. And so the listeners to our show today should say, well, why? Are you closed-minded? And really, no, the answer comes back to, and this could be a whole show or it could be 10 shows in itself, but really the trustworthiness of the Bible, which I consider to be the most reliable, entirely reliable spiritual source. Okay, now we got to go quickly one level deeper. Well, why is that, Rick? Why don't you consider the Quran or the however you say it? Yeah, thank you. Why don't you consider that reliable? Well, this is some old shows that you'll find on our website at thethingsthatmattermost.org.
There may be some new shows in the future, too.
Exactly.
Because I think a lot of people are asking, what is the basis of authority for what you believe?
Fulfilled prophecy, which I really can't get off and talk about it, but
right.
if you listen to our old shows, it is so compelling. There is no equal to the fulfilled prophecy in the Bible. The resurrection itself and the impact it had on all those people who, the disciples who were willing to go to their death for what they saw, again, something I could talk about in great detail
right.
here.
Science, basically measuring the Big Bang.
Archaeology. Anyway,
yeah.
So here's how I have to go about it, Lael, and I want our listeners to think of me as intellectually honest
right.
and not just anything that conflicts with my views, I shut the door.
Right, and we'd like to have the other perspectives on the show, but hey, I mean, we're just pretty upfront. This is the perspective that we come
exactly.
from, followers
so
of Jesus Christ.
Where I am on this is because of the trustworthiness of the Bible, I have to take near-death experiences that conflict with Scripture and figure out there is another that they are not valid. And so finally, I've gotten to your question, which is, how about Don's story? Well, I do trust Don's story because it doesn't conflict in any points with biblical Christianity. Next quick question, so where do these other stories come from, the ones that conflict with the Bible? Well, I have to assume that they're from some source other than God. Now, the Bible speaks of Satan as the deceiver, whose job it is to obscure the truth through deception. Think of any normal garden variety scam that you think of. Think of any of these shows that you watch on TV or movies that are about somebody getting
mm-hmm.
scammed. It's
mm-hmm.
all about making something seem like what it's not. So I guess where I have to end up is that a lot of these near-death experiences are not valid. They come from some source other than God. But I want to say in closing on that question that it's with fear and trembling that I give those answers, because I am not God.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just a journeyer like you are and like so many of our listeners are. But those are my views today. We'll see if they change in the future.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, Lael, I have a question for you.
Okay.
As we've said here, people tell stories of many different kinds of spiritual experiences in this life and in the next. And one of the most famous was Betty Eady's. Is that the name? Is that how you say
uh-huh.
it? Eady, Betty Eady's Embraced by the Light. What is her account of life after death?
Well, it was so much more like the typical story that you hear, like the going through the long, dark tunnel and then meeting spirit beings who guided her through a certain experience and gave her a new insight that said, you know, well, this is this is really spiritual truth, and you need to disregard the things that maybe you learned from the Bible or from other spiritual sources on earth, because here's the new word of truth that you need to go back and to give other people. It was quite a profound experience for Edie, and she was very much convinced of its reality, just like Don was, in fact. But she believes that if the Bible had been translated properly, that it would have reflected what she saw in the spiritual war, in the spiritual world. It happened in 1973 in a Seattle hospital where she said she was recovering from a partial hysterectomy, but there were really no medical personnel that validated she was flatlined or that she was code blue It's just kind of her story that's a little bit uncorroborated there, whereas Don's story, I mean, the EMTs, I guess we didn't talk about that in his interview, but the EMTs went over and checked his pulse immediately and declared him dead. And then they went to see the other people that were in the accident and determining if they were okay, they came back to him again and checked him, and they redetermined
that he was dead. Yeah, it wasn't an interview, but we did talk to him about that offline, that he was clearly, no one was disputing that he was absolutely dead for a long time.
And the fact that another big part of Don's experience was there was another pastor that had been at the same conference who followed him in the same route, and when he came to the bridge and the trooper had it closed off and said there's been a terrible accident, he couldn't help but feel that he was being compelled to go pray. And so he said, well, I'm going to go pray for him, I'm a pastor. And they said, well, the guy's dead. They said, well, do you mind if I just walk down there? He said, well, no, go ahead, you're a pastor. So for some extraordinary reason, he climbed through the trunk, put his hand up on Don's shoulder, and he said in his own words, I've never been able to pray like that before in my life or since. But he prayed just a mighty prayer for Don's restoration, and that I think that was a huge component of what was happening in Don's experience.
Right.
And when Don started perking up, I mean, he started praying, and then he sang a song, and then Don was singing with him, and he runs over to the EMTs like the old Frankenstein. It's alive! It's alive!
Right.
And the EMTs blew him off. They were so convinced that Don was dead that they blew him off, and he said, will you just, and he went to another somebody, and he said, will you please, just for my sake, will you just come over here and check this guy one more time? And this was an hour and a half later, and they did, and he was, and the story unfolds from there. But again, very compelling documentation that this man was dead, and the professionals knew their business, and so that was very, very different from Edie's story.
Right.
So, when I hear an account that is so very different from Scripture, that sort of wants to replace Scripture by a woman who really wants to immediately go out and publish a book and be on Oprah and all this, has a totally different ring to it in terms of authenticity than Piper's experience.
Well, I think this is a great ministry because, because I don't really doubt the honesty or the authenticity of these other folks that have these experiences.
Right.
When you read the account, you can just sense how much their lives are changed by it.
Right.
But the mystery that I was referring to is this mystery of how it could be that different people could have experiences that are so different from each other, yet all very authentic feeling and life-changing. And, you know, I've done my best here to give some kind of a plausible explanation for that, but it's still a complex area.
Right. And, of course, a skeptic would say, you got to be kidding. Where's the proof? So take the skeptic's role for a minute. What do you think a skeptic, how do you think a skeptic would respond to that?
Okay, well, I did read this week a fair amount about the skeptic's view, and of course, I guess there's a difference between a true skeptic, a genuine skeptic, and someone who's just closed-minded. So, but I think if I go to the genuine skeptic's viewpoint, I think one thing that they come up with is that remote viewing, and I'll explain what that is in a second, remote viewing is a great evidence for a near-death experience, and they don't believe that ever happens. Well, what they mean by remote viewing is that when you die and you leave your body, you should be able to float around the hospital or go over to grandma's house and see what she's cooking for dinner and stuff like that. And the skeptics say that that does never really happen. So to them, that's proof that near-death experiences aren't correct.
I thought a lot of the stories do looking down
that's
at their body.
They really do. And so I just don't think that's right. I think mm-hmm. that's been validated. And I also don't know how that lines up with Scripture, because Scripture says in one moment you are in your body and the next moment you're with the Lord. So I don't really know how that all works together. But that's one of the points that the skeptics like to make. And then they also say, well, we've demonstrated that the near-death experience can be demonstrated even without death, that there is a brain chemical connection. And they say, for example, if the astronauts that go around in the centrifuge, you know, uh-huh. to experience the same thing as
their skin lies back and folds,
that's right,
and they get real,
that's right, and they will have similar experiences to the near-death experience. So the skeptics definitely have their perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are down to our last break, so let's break away, and Lael, you and I'll come back in just a minute and wrap things up.
Great. This is AM 700 KSEV, The Voice.
How many Texans go hungry? In one of the wealthiest, most agriculturally rich states in the nation, over 3.1 million people in Texas don't always know where they will get groceries or money for their next meal.
I'm Alonzo Highsmith, spokesperson for the Newt Kid Care. The faces of hunger vary. Many of these people are children or the elderly. They may be Caucasian, African American, Hispanic, or Asian. Now that you know who these people are, here's how you can help.
Here in Houston, the Newt Kid Care provides lunches to more than 900 children every day. Our emergency food pantry is available for people to visit. As the Newt Kid Care grows, so does our clothing bank.
Please consider helping us build this program with your financial support. You can do that by going online at thenewtkidcare.com or by calling 713-695-5437.
The Newt Kid Care. It's working here in Houston.
We're back. This is Rick Davis.
And Lael Arrington.
And the show is The Things That Matter Most. And we are wrapping up our show this morning, a show where we have brought you a very interesting interview with a very interesting guest, a man named Don Piper, who actually died and spent 90 Earth minutes. I don't know what it translates to in heaven time, although there is no time there, I'm sure. Spent 90 minutes in heaven and brought back the story of his experiences there.
Right.
Well, Lael, okay, so we're followers of Jesus. We don't shy away from that identity at all, although we're open to lots of different kinds of views. What specifically does the Bible say about what happens when we die?
Well, rather than go through Bible verses, maybe it would be helpful to just look at the Westminster Confession. Because that was put together by a scholarly effort that involved thousands of scriptures and a large assembly of some of the most gifted men of faith of any period. They lived and breathed a commitment to the integrity of the Bible. And so when they wrote what happens, they wrote it based on a great deal of research and a broad consensus of what the Bible says
okay.
in its original languages. And what the Westminster Confession says, this is that bodies of men after death return to dust and see corruption, but their souls, which neither die nor sleep, have an immortal substance and immediately return to God who gave them. And the souls of the righteous, being then made perfect in holiness, are received in the highest heavens, where they behold the face of God in light and glory, waiting for the full redemption of their bodies. It's sort of an unclothed, naked soul, if you will, but it's not a soul sleep. It's an alive soul. It's an awake soul. And then it's reclosed at the resurrection. The Westminster Confession goes on to say that the souls of the wicked are cast into hell. And besides these two places for souls separated from the body, the scripture doesn't acknowledge anything else. And I think that is very I think that's very compelling to think about. Okay, yeah, what does happen in the minute after we die? Because as we've acknowledged on this show before, we know we all will die.
That's right.
And so it's extremely too important to think what happens in the next moment and for the year after that and for the 300 years after that and for the 1,000 years after that.
Yeah, and then you're only beginning after that.
Right.
Well, you know, when we talk about death and life after death, one thing that comes to my mind is, Lael, you and I have been friends a long time, and you know that my dad died a few years ago.
Right.
And a year before he died, he appealed to God that what Jesus did in the crucifixion would cover his sin and that he would be okay with God and that he would spend eternity with him. And it took him until his 77th year to make that decision, but then a year later he died. And you know, when I hear Don talk about recognizing people at the gate,
yeah,
I cannot wait until I see my dad and, you know, get a chance to have that great reunion.
I think a lot of people out there are anticipating the great reunion.
I think that's right. Okay. Well, that wraps up another show. It's been fun as always, and I'd like to say this to you, our listeners. As you go into this new week, remember that there are many things that will scream for your attention that in the end aren't going to matter a whole lot. If you do everything right day by day, but don't get it right on matters of God, meaning, purpose, and truth, it would all be for nothing. There is such a thing as truth, and you can find it if you search. So remember, until we meet again, never let yourself get so busy that you don't take time to think about the things that matter most.
And next week, we'll be talking about the big blockbuster movie coming out, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. See you then.